At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Our first sweat of the week is advantageous for us. We have won a unit.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Did we have to risk 9.7 units to win that unit?
We did.
We sure did. But scare money don't make money. It's a winner. It's a winner, boys. If you were betting $1 million units, you'd be a millionaire right now.
Yes, you would.
Now, you would have risked $9.7 million to win that million. But all's well that ends well. Never a doubt as they won 1-0. And Burnley had a shot on goal late. Woo. Never in doubt. 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's get to some of the bad of the Astros weekend. 713-780-ESPN. Someone said they're retro listening. Thanks for listening, however you do it. Used to be Boston Braves playing the Boston Red Sox. Okay, that makes some sense. Still a reach, but that's a good answer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a really good answer. A reach, but a good answer. Junkie says you guys owe me $50 for telling me to live bet Arsenal Burnley tie. No, we didn't tell you to do that.
Nope, that's what. No,
that's a lie. That. You know what? You're gone for lying. Ejected. That's out of here. You're not lying to us. Straight to our faces with your text. First ejection of the week goes to the liar. We never said tie.
Also,
ever.
I said your choice. The fader follow us.
But he lied.
I know. Yes.
He faded us and then lied to us, which you can fade us. That's fine.
Yeah.
Some weeks, last week, we lost 4 units. It'd be wise. Most weeks, it'd be ignorant. Mm-hmm. Today, it'd be dumb. I said Arsenal's not losing this match. And I've been on. And look, there are minus 970 favorites. Uh-huh. I'm not really going on a limb here. But I said there is no chance Arsenal is losing. And I've been on that since 9 a.m. this morning. And I've never wavered. So not once today did I say Arsenal and Burnley was going to be a tie. You, sir, are a liar. And I do not owe you $50.
MLB.com put out a story on why these matchups happened on rivalry weekend starting last year.
Okay.
They created a rivalry.
Oh, gosh.
Between the Mariners and the Padres.
Oh, because there were just leftovers?
Yes. And The connection here.
I haven't. Is it
is incredible?
Has something to do with the Pioneers?
No, it has something to do with it's. They're calling it's the Vedder Cup. It is an ode to Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, who was once a resident of both Seattle and San Diego.
Okay,
mind you, noted Cubs fan Eddie Vedder has a.
It makes sense now.
And who in the world knew he lived in San Diego? Like people like, think what? Of Eddie Vedder, they think Seattle, they think Cubs fan.
Do they? Do people know Eddie Vedder's a Cub fan?
Well, then before they knew he lived in San Diego.
Sure, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I just don't think that's common knowledge. I don't think either of those nuggets are common knowledge.
He has a song called "One Day We'll Go All the Way." About the Cubs.
Well, that could be with the Mariners. Yeah, hey-o!
That's a good point.
Never made a World Series.
713-780-ESPN. Mariner, Seattle Pierre, not going to be happy about that. Junkie says, I'm throwing my BS flag, the one we just ejected. Unfortunately, you can't throw your BS flag once you've been ejected.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm not even going to read the rest of the rest
he
of the text.
He must have confused, because someone texted in saying they placed a bet on the draw, and this junkie maybe?
No.
The junkie who was ejected may or may not have said, same. Joe said there needs to be another goal, didn't specify which team, so he led to the assumption for a draw.
Oh, that's
I remember when Joe said that, and Joe said we need another goal for cushion. Yes. And in fact, it led into the entire narrative, because I get sidetracked because I have ADHD. It led to the entire narrative, or conversation, I should say, of do they call an extra goal in that moment an insurance goal?
Yeah.
So BS flag. In fact, we're not even listening to the BS flag because you've already been ejected. So we're not even listening to the BS flag, and that text ceases to exist. All right, what was the bad from the Astros weekend?
I mean, the lineup still wasn't particularly good.
No, the offense was pretty bad.
The Friday one.
I mean, like so on this weekend they go 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, Saturday, they didn't have any opportunities for that. Yes, they had four home runs, but they didn't even have an opportunity. But just the lineup as a whole, like all three games, poor. Pretty much everything in my bat is lineup related.
Yeah. Offense was really bad. Echo that. I want to throw the fans yesterday in right field on that ball that Nimmo robbed of Yordan Alvarez. Bad fans.
She turned her back.
Bad fans. Bad fans. You might be good fans, but you were bad in that one individual moment. You don't get out of the way. Oh, this cute story. Brandon Nimmo autographed the baseball for you and gave it to you. Are you a Rangers fan or are you an Astros fan? Who did you want to win that game yesterday? Because you let down an organization.
Yep.
You let down a city in that moment. If you are a fan beyond the boundaries, you should be trying to give your team a home field advantage. And I'm not telling you almost said Jeffrey Dahmer. Who is the kid in Baltimore who reached over the...
Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's funny about that because I almost said it and I decided to say it anyways. Who is the kid? The Baltimore kid.
Not Jeffrey Dahmer.
I don't know.
You remember that though?
I do, yeah. It was...
The kid that reached over. He helped the Yankees.
A Roberto Alomar, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, it wasn't Alomar because it helped the Yankees. The Yankees hit a ball to right center field. The kid reached over, touched it. They called it a home run.
They pulled it up.
And the Oriole outfielder
Jeffrey
was like
Meyer.
Livid. Jeffrey Meyer. I was pretty close.
I think it was in the 90s.
Same first name, two syllable last name. I was pretty close.
Dahmer Meyer.
That was pretty close. That's pretty close. I got the first name right, and it was a two syllable last name. That's pretty stinking close.
One's a 12-year-old, one's a serial killer. Difference.
Yeah, but that kid serial killed the Orioles' playoff chances. And then, you know, the whole Joe West thing with the, you know, I don't even want to talk the ALCS, so you call the fan interference there. But as a fan, you can go all belly to the wall, right? You can go belly, as long as you're not reaching over, and just go straight up.
Yep.
Straight up. So those fans who are getting out of the way to allow Brandon Nimmo to rob that home run, you put the Astros in a bad situation. You could have given Yordan Alvarez an extra home run. In fact, I'm going to be ticked off if Yordan Alvarez is tied for the AL lead in home runs at the end of the year. I'm going to be ticked off if Yordan Alvarez finishes with 49 home runs. And you people robbed us of the first ever 50 home run Astros season in the history of the organization. All of you need to go belly up to the wall, stick your hand straight in the air, or even to your side, and play defense on a player that is going beyond the boundary to try to rob your player of a home run. You are entitled to your space. Joe West was wrong. You're entitled to your space. Just go like this. Don't let Nimmo get through you.
It's just
brick
like
wall.
Block charge in the NBA.
Yeah. Go, but you don't want to flop.
No.
Put yourself in a legal guarding position and do not budge. Build the wall beyond the wall in right field to give Yordan Alvarez a homer. Bad fans. Bad fans. Maybe not bad fans, but they turned out to be bad fans because it's a bad play. Low S2 fans.
Yeah, she turned her back.
Low S2 fans. Get out of the way. And H-Town Wheelhouse, you should get to know him. He's a great guy. He might be a wonderful guy. Low S2. Bad IQ baseball play.
Totally fair. Is it a lower IQ play than the Seattle Mariners fan who got hit in the head this weekend?
I did not see that video. I saw that it happened, but I didn't watch the video.
She's just like, they're like,
didn't you quote tweet it?
I don't think so.
I thought you quote tweeted it.
I don't believe I did.
Okay.
No, wrong, Branham. I didn't watch the video because I didn't think it'd be that entertaining.
It's not.
Yeah, see? I was right. So she was just like streaming?
They're like,
or like going live or
taking
something?
Taking a video or something?
Yeah,
and she's
like,
got domed?
Yeah.
So like, where was she sitting?
I couldn't tell.
It looked lower level, but you can't tell. It's too zoomed in.
Probably like a high pop that went over the net and came down in her head.
Yeah.
Was she hurt at all?
I think it said she fractured her skull.
No chance. That's terrible. That would not have been like a just a little pop-up then. That would have been like a pretty hard liner, I would imagine.
Well, because it looks like, because it hits her in like right here on the top.
Fractured her skull?
I thought that's what I saw.
Prayers for her. That's sad.
Fractured her skull.
That's terrible, man. That's not good.
Not good.
Way to set the mood, Joe. Sheesh.
I'll see if they got hurt.
That's pretty good bad.
Yeah.
That makes it better. Grade 2 oblique for Yordan. To give you a little reference here. Yeah, for Altuve.
You're just scared all.
Well, Yordan's coming.
You're scared everyone. Don't say that. Don't say that, man.
Jose Altuve, grade 2 oblique. Now, to give you a little reference here, Jake Meyers just had one. Jake Meyers, and everybody's oblique's different. Meyers, you know, is a little bit more deer in the headlights. Altuve's a little more compressed. But Meyers with a grade two oblique nearing his return. It's been almost 6 weeks. So we're looking at probably a 4 to 6 week injury here for Altuve, going on the average time it takes
to get back July 1.
Grade two oblique. And that might be kind of pushing it. And at that point, you just wait for the All-Star game. Somewhere in that range, I would say. July 1, post-All-Star break is somewhere where I would say. That'd be my guess the date.
Yeah, just it depends on, I think, a lot of it of where the team's at.
Yeah.
Like, if you're still in it
at that point. Well, if you look at the calendar, I think it'll tell you.
Like, if you're still in the playoff race, then...
they'll be home.
Maybe you bring him back as soon as he's ready. If you're out of it, take your sweet time.
The home run derby. The All-Star game's July 14th. So they don't play a game between the... you know, they don't play the 13th or the 16th. So, yeah.
That's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I would say somewhere between July 1 and July 17 is when Yordan will return.
Altuve.
I keep saying Yordan. it's just ingrained in me. I've been conditioned when I talk about injuries to talk about Yordan.
It's like you're trying to jinx it.
I didn't mean to do that. Something that I... oh, any other bads, Brian?
I guess it's not so much a bad, although it was really just funny, but Yordan clearly wasn't sure what the rule was on Friday night when Christian Walker swung through the what was, I think, called a wild pitch, and Yordan was just kind of running back and forth in place trying to figure out if he should go back to first or not. That was entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I'd be funny if someone asked, "Hey, Yordan, what's the rule here?" There's no, I don't think he knew.
He probably doesn't know it.
He probably doesn't.
That's okay. I put the outfield on here just as a whole. Whoever started in left, center, and right over the 3 days.
I mean, DeZinzo had that great catch.
Yeah, they went 4 for 28.
Oh, you're talking about the plate. That's fair.
With 2 walks, 11 strikeouts between Cole, DeZinzo, Smith, and Matthews.
They're going to strike out a lot.
Yeah, but 4 for 28, yikes.
Zach Cole hit a tank, though, bro.
He did. He hit a tank.
Zach Cole, here's my comp on Zach Cole.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
7 home runs and 85 career at-bats, long ways. Zach Cole, 235 career hitter, 286 on base, 120 OPS, though.
But when he gets a hold of it.
It goes a long ways. I have a comp.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, like the end of his Dodger tenure when he was really bad.
So pretty much like every year but one.
I was thinking Gallo.
See, I think he's too athletic. Too extreme? Well, no. I just think he's more athletic than Gallo.
So he's
like
better,
Gallo's not going to play center for you.
Yeah, Bellinger's fair.
Like, I think he's kind of like our version of Cody Bellinger.
I mean, Bellinger's had some seasons where he's hit over 300. I don't think Cole's ever going to do
that. I think
he's
only had one though.
It was just that 1 year with Chicago.
I think it was an anomaly, wasn't it?
Like, I know hasn't he had, all his that yet. 1 year I mean, in Chicago, he had over 300.
His career average is 261.
He only has 3 years where he hit below 240.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Like maybe Cody Bellinger lied. He's had 2 years where he's hit 305. He's had 1 year 305, 1 year 307. Career average of 261.
I mean, he has the 2 years where in 21 where he hit 165 and then 210. Like, the end of the 10-year Dodgers, Cody Bellinger.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's fair. Zach Cole, who's only had 85 at-bats, is hitting 235 in his career. I don't think it's end of career, end of Dodger tenure. It's more like that 2020 version of Bellinger.
Yeah, it's just closer to it than it. Yeah, 2020 makes sense. But it's closer to that than his.
Maybe it's like Gallo, bat, Bellinger,
feel
defensive profile. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just, plus, it kind of looks like Bellinger because he's kind of tall and lanky.
He just doesn't look stoned all the time.
No, not yet. You know, sub 500 baseball, though, might do it to him. Any others?
Allowing Jake Berger to steal a base on Friday night.
That's bad.
That was pretty bad.
It's not great. He's
no.
A big boy.
That was annoying.
Anybody else?
I got nothing else.
I mean, I think we mentioned Bolton earlier, but not in this segment.
Oh, yeah, he sucks.
He's trash.
We might not ever see him again.
Yeah, they have not announced anything.
In fact,
yet,
one last time for Cody Bolton. I think it's the last time this year. I don't think he's going to be an Astro anymore.
So we can live without him?
We are going to live without him. Maybe the Spacers can't live without him. But one more time for Michael Bolton. I learned two things today on my deep dive on the Houston Astros.
Because okay.
I was nerding it up. Christian Vasquez is the fourth worst challenger in baseball as a catcher. Like position player challenges, not hitter challenges.
Okay.
Christian Vasquez, fourth worst in baseball. You want to take a guess at his percentage? What is his success rate?
25%.
Not bad.
20%.
33 is the fourth worst in baseball. He's 7-for-21. Okay. For reference, a lot of people who were hating on Yiner, Yiner's actually at 62%, 10-for-16.
Okay.
Christian Vasquez, and watching Vasquez, this is what I think he's doing. I think he realizes moments in the game where his pitcher's struggling and he tries to steal him a strike, but he's just wrong. Because, like, you see it, like, a 2-0 count, like, he just misses the top of the zone where it's like, okay, that's a ball, but, like, man, you really wanted it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to challenge it because he really wants it, but it's just not a strike.
Okay.
So he needs to fix that. And then guess how many walks Braden Shoemake has on the year?
Zero.
I like Braden Shoemake.
One.
Brian was right. Okay. Braden Shoemake has a grand total of 0 walks on the year. Let's mix in a walk a little bit.
Maybe he can.
Let's mix in a walk.
He's aggressive.
He's aggressive. Can we not just mix in a walk from time to time? It helps.
A little nice.
You know what a walk is? It's not an out.
That's true.
To be fair to Shoemake, he hadn't gotten out a lot because he's been swinging a good stick. My fear, though, is whenever he starts slumping a little bit, because he can never draw a walk, he's going to have like an 0-for-25 stretch, and he's not reaching base at all. So just want to mix in a walk from time to time.
Like this weekend, how he went. I mean, I guess he went 2-for-11. It's not,
yeah.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
Not by much.
Just draw a walk from time to time. All right, there was MMA over the weekend. The great card that was Ronda Rousey. What's Carano's first name? Gina Carano. What do we think of that fight? What do we think of the card? Also, I didn't realize Jake Paul was involved in this. He's like the vice president of this.
Yeah,
I didn't like know. Running this. He's
I
like
did
the
not know that either.
He's like the promoter of all of this.
He's the Dana White.
Is this legit? Is MVP here? Because he's saying UFC's on notice. We're coming to get them. Is that accurate? 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what I like, though? I like a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. Look, it's basketball season. I'm actually riveted for the conference finals. The finals are going to be here before we know it. And you're probably jonesing to play some hoops. The significant other's jonesing to play some hoops. The kiddos are jonesing to play some hoops. That's why you need a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Don't waste your time in those big box stores. Get one from Pro Dunk. And they've been serving the best goals since 1984. That's longer than I've been alive. They've been serving these great goals. Tempered glass backboard. You do that true, authentic feel off the glass, off the rim. You're going to love that. It's what you feel in the pro gyms, the college gyms. It's got a breakaway rim because you can be dunking on this sucker. You can lower it all the way down to 5 feet, raise it up to 10 feet to work on your shot. They got the breakaway rim. They got the extended overhang, too, so you don't have to worry about the basketball stanchion for all you weak-ankled folk. They also have the stainless steel hardware. They got the rust-proof, which is huge in Houston. It gets a little humid around here. Their goals are awesome. Their other goal, Thor? Thor is amazing. They have the lightning adjust feature on Thor. What is the lightning adjust feature? You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Easy to do, fun to do, gets anywhere you need it to be from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. They have all the goals, though, in-ground adjustable, portable, wall mount, roof mount. They can do it all at Pro Dunk, and their accessories are top-notch as well. LED light kits, maybe. Backstop nets, perhaps. Pull pad lettering, sounds nice, and lots more. And they can also install the goal for you, too. You don't have to assemble. You don't have to get a big box delivered to the driveway. They can install the goal for you perfectly level, perfectly straight. You're going to love that about Pro Dunk. So order now at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Junkie says Shoemake is like Dubon. He never walked. Dubon didn't walk much, right? But he walked more than zero. Shoemake hasn't walked all year. Now, hopefully he will eventually. I mean, he's hitting so well, maybe he'll be intentionally walked. I'm just kidding. Did you watch any of these fights on Saturday?
Watch the replays.
Oh, yeah? Like the highlights and stuff?
Yeah. Well, one took 17 seconds. So
15, I think. Yeah,
you think it was scripted? A lot of people are thinking it was scripted.
As soon as I found out Jake Paul was invested in this, then yes.
So I don't really think that fight was scripted.
No.
I mean, Carano sucked 20 years ago. Like, she was, I mean, certainly, like, the trailblazer in women's MMA, and she led to the popularity in the sport. But, like, Carano was getting beat every fight whenever she was retiring.
Yeah.
And that was 20-something years ago.
Hey, when's the last time she fought?
She's been out of the game forever.
Now Ronda has as well, but Ronda, like, if you go Ronda at her peak, I mean, it's at the top of the sport. Carano at her peak is, like, towards the middle. Trailblazer, Maverick, all of those things.
And Ronda much closer to her prime than Gina was.
Sure. Still far removed, but much closer. Probably much closer. Probably half the way closer, you know. So I don't think it was scripted. I think Carano was just overmatched. I'm a little surprised they licensed this fight, which I felt that way about a couple of fights on this card.
That's where, like, it's hard. I mean, yeah, the last time she fought was in 2009.
Who's that? Carano? Yeah, and that was probably...
That was against Chris Cyborg. She got knocked out.
What was her fight prior to that? Does it say?
October 4th, 2008.
Okay, so she was still kind of fighting once per year-ish.
This shows her career record is 7-2.
Yeah, well, she...
So 9 professional fights?
There weren't a lot of MMA when she started.
Yeah. I mean,
women's MMA.
Yeah, she didn't fight in UFC.
No.
Like there wasn't a championship.
No. So, like... She was mixed martial artist, all that stuff. She was American Gladiator. So she carries name value, but not a great fighter. And so I don't think it was scripted. I think she was just severely overmatched. But that fight was a dud. Like, you get the build up, you know, Rousey beats her in a second. They're both crying, and, like, Rousey's like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. So, like, she's done. Yeah. Carano can't beat anybody. She's like, I wish I punched her once or twice, but she was overmatched. So that was, I mean, I guess, I don't even know word to describe it. I wouldn't call it exciting.
No. It's not exciting.
It wasn't exciting.
She was tapping before. Well,
once she got her into that spot, it was to game over.
That's why, like, I have a hard time with.
Well, Rousey did that to opponents in the UFC.
No, I know. But, like, it's just, again, like, it's just because of who's involved in it.
She's like, not 100% convinced.
No.
See, if you would have told me how is this fight going to go, I would have predicted exactly that.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised by it.
I thought maybe, like. I mean, the number for the fight was over under half a round, so this is what people were expecting.
Yeah,
but, like, I thought maybe we'd get a minute of action.
I saw somebody saying that this is how, like, in the past, how a bunch of Strikeforce cards were built. It's like you put some big names on it, you put some guys and ladies that are way better than their opponent, so you're going to see like a lot of blood, a lot of gore, a lot of excitement, a lot of knockouts, and it's kind of how it was. Rousey, you know, just abused Carano. The co-main is where you saw, it wasn't even a competitive fight, but you saw a lot of blood.
Yeah. With
Mike Platinum Perry and Nate Diaz. Diaz was gassed like a minute into the fight.
Yep.
Like, he was holding his hips a minute into the fight. And Perry, I didn't realize, was doing that bare knuckle stuff. So, like, he's kind of fit. Like, he's kind of, you know, conditioned. And Perry killed him. Nate Diaz.
Yeah, that's like the, probably, I'm guessing, like, the years of scar tissue. Just, like, opening up.
Oh, maybe.
And, I mean, it was...
I mean, corner stopped the fight because of all the cuts, and it was like multiple cuts. My favorite part of the fight, whenever the doctor stopped it, and Nate Diaz was like, okay, yeah, you're probably right. And then the cut man or whatever started pointing to all the cuts for Nate Diaz. He's like, you got one here, you got one here, you got one here, you got one here. I think there was 5 like open wounds on the head of Nate Diaz, which isn't great for probably his mental stability going forward.
No, but again, I don't think this is a overall, like, surprising outcome.
You don't care about brain health.
They choose to get in there.
I think that ship had sailed with Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
And then the other fight that I saw was the third fight, third from bottom. Nagano beating the Lens guy.
He knocked that dude.
How did the commission license this fight?
I don't know.
That guy had no business in the, I think it was the hexagon that they were fighting in. He had no business in that thing with Nagano.
No.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah, but he went down hard.
He had no business being in there with that man.
No.
It's a shame we don't get to see Ngannou against some of the best. Because that guy is vicious.
Yeah, I wonder if they ever try to get him back in the UFC.
Apparently they walked away from negotiations. I mean, if I'm Dana, I'd try to get him in. John Jones was on the commentary table for this.
Oh, was he?
And he's like, I got to get out of my UFC contract. I got to get out of it because Ngannou, like, called him out or whatever. But he's got, like, an 8-fight deal with. He's only fought 2 fights into it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how they would do it.
Just buy him out. But I mean, if I'm Dana White, I'm not doing that.
I mean, unless you just get offered an insane amount of money.
He must think they're like.
Maybe he could box him. Could he box him?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be getting out of his contract, but is there a loophole in his contract where he could box?
Did McGregor have a current UFC deal when he fought Mayweather?
But I think that might have been negotiated.
Yeah, I think Dana White
could do that.
Yeah, I think he signed off on it.
But I don't think he would allow because of who his opponent would be.
Right.
I don't know if he'd sign off on it.
I don't know. Maybe so. He would, like, hate not allow it. He wouldn't allow it out of spite to Nagano.
I mean, because like the story of the weekend is like it's not even the fights.
It's the day.
It's Connor.
Yeah, which Dana White announced that as soon as Nagano walked out.
Yeah.
So like a lot of people, he's like, he just announced it out of spite, which was the worst kept secret. Like there, I saw multiple people predicting that Dana White is going to announce that fight.
This should not be that hard.
During the MVP card.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think Connor's going to get killed.
I do too. I'm going to watch though.
Oh, sure.
I'll be locked in on what, July 11th?
Yeah, UFC's got some good cards coming up. They got the White House card coming up. They got some title fights coming up. They got Conor McGregor coming up, which he is much watch, but Holloway's just way better form. I mean, McGregor hasn't fought in years, and when he fought, he broke his leg in half.
Yeah, I'm hoping they just like stand and bang.
They probably will.
Yeah. I don't really, I mean, what else? Who knows with Conor? Like, he hasn't, when he lost his title, he just kind of vanished. And like we got the Khabib fight and Nate Diaz, two times. But like I'll watch it. I just have no expectations for it.
I think he's going to get killed. I'll bet Holloway. In fact, I saw the when the fight was announced, the immediate odds were like Holloway minus 152. And it got bet up to like some insane number.
I'm sure it's like 300.
Like minus 900?
No, not quite that. No. So it's still in play for us. Although it's not going to be on while we're doing the show. Junkie, MVP will not last longer if they continue to have lopsided fights that they had over the weekend. Also, they have no roster. Like, they're just like nitpicking people who are homeless or, you know, jobless.
Yeah, they're going to be grabbing washed up people or people who are upset with the UFC like Ngannou. That's all they can do. It's minus 410 right now.
So that's incredible.
Yeah.
It went from minus 152 to minus 410 immediately.
So McGregor plus 290 is the play.
No, it's not. McGregor is not going to win that fight.
No, it's probably like you go method of victory.
Yeah.
It's probably the next
probably one. Knockout.
Holloway by knockout is minus 145.
That's probably the play.
Yeah.
I don't think it was scripted. I just think the matchups were all overwhelmingly lopsided. That's where I am at, too. Nate Diaz is the poster child of CTE. John Jones said that he wasn't going to fight anymore because of all the arthritis that he has. Well, you're saying something different on the card the other night. Of course, John Jones had a lot of dings in the 5 minutes that he was at the table. Yeah, he's weird. I won't believe Conor McGregor will ever fight again until he physically stepped foot in a ring or a cage.
Totally fair.
I don't know if that's fair, though. Like, as McGregor...
His last fight got canceled because he got hurt.
But that's the only time I think it's happened in his career.
No, but last year they said that he was going to come back, and then when he went back into the program, he failed the test. Didn't he?
It was never an announced fight, though.
No, I know.
He's only pulled out of one fight ever, and it was because he was hurt. So I don't subscribe to the narrative of like, oh, McGregor's not wanting to fight or will not fight.
I'm just not. Well, see, I don't think it's. I'll just believe it when I see it. I'm with a texter. Like, it feels like this is going to happen, but maybe it's John Jones and it's made me feel this way. But it's also like that where I'm just like, like we'll see when we get there. Like, are we sure Conor's not going to fail a drug test, get hurt?
Because maybe do they have to drug test him if he hadn't been in fighting?
Yeah, you have to be in the.
They test for meth.
I'm sure they do.
Cocaine? They test for that?
Probably.
That's frowned upon in the MMA community, yeah? All right. 713-780-ESPN. Maybe McGregor will vindicate his previous defeats and beat Max.
I hope so.
SGA won an MVP yesterday.
He did.
We have to discuss how this was leaked because that was hilarious. And also now that SGA has his second MVP, where does he rank amongst NBA greats? The hierarchy of NBA greats, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Should be a fun series in the Western Conference starting tonight. SGA, his Thunder, Wembanyama, his Spurs. Who do you like in this series, Joe?
Thunder.
Really?
Yeah, I'm taking the Thunder.
I like the Thunder in this series, too. I do have the Spurs to reach the NBA Finals future bet that I think I made live on the show. Whenever the Rockets played them. Also, I have some Fred Van Vliet receipts whenever he was talking trash about the Spurs that would make for some good Bad Take Boulevard fodder.
What'd you get the Spurs at?
I'd have to look.
They're plus 310 right now still.
To win it or to win the series?
That's to win the finals. But honestly, I kind of imagine it's almost the same to win the conference.
My bet? Or you're saying,
in general,
yeah. Because this is the finals, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I see.
Wait, I think the Thunder are going to win this one. I think it's going to be competitive, though. I don't think they're going to obviously roll over on the Spurs or anything like that.
I have the Spurs to, I have them win the NBA championship. It doesn't look like I have them to win the West. I have them at plus 700 to win it all. And you said they're at what?
Plus 310 right
now. I should sell this ticket. Anybody want it? 713-780-3776 if you want this ticket. Because I do like the Thunder to win the series.
I bet you someone would buy it.
Why not? If you're going to, you shouldn't bet Spurs plus 310. You should buy my ticket at plus 700.
Have you ever gone on one of those websites?
No, never.
No.
I don't even know how that really works.
I don't really either. I don't really either.
No, I thought I was just going to do honor code with somebody.
No, I'm okay. I'm not. I'll pass.
You don't want it?
No, I'm okay.
Brian, you want it?
Let's talk off air.
Oh, he's interested.
Well, it depends on what you ask for.
Interesting.
I'll hear a number.
Mm.
We bid for it.
Everybody's got a price for Brian McDonald.
$1.
Everybody's going to pay.
No, I like the Thunder, though, in this series. It should be a fun series, though. But SGA, which, by the way, Shams breaking this at like 7:30 in the morning was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then like the Amazon people were like talking trash during their little studio show. Mm-hmm. That was funny. People were thinking that he scheduled the tweet wrong.
Oh, you're thinking about for 7:30?
Yeah. People were saying that he had like a something to do.
Mistake?
Yeah. People were saying that he had something to do in the evening, so he scheduled the tweet because he had something to do and he wouldn't be able to tweet it live or whatever.
That makes sense.
So they're saying that he had the AM PM flip.
I could see that where like he like did it like.
It's also a strong alibi.
It is.
But, like, you could have done it intentionally, like, oh, whoops, you know?
Also, just, like, he doesn't work for Amazon.
Right, but I'm sure the NBA isn't pleased.
No, but.
And then Amazon's going to be mad at the NBA, and you don't want to make a
What's the NBA going to do about it?
Yeah, like, podcast partner mad.
Like, look at the NBA.
You could make a reporter's life hell.
Yeah, but, like, look what they've done with the draft in the NBA, where they got so upset with tipping picks. So they told their reporters, like Woj and Shams, they can't tip picks anymore. So now, as we know who's getting picked, they go, you know, they're strongly considering.
Yeah, it's, which is dumb.
It's likely this is gonna, like, they literally just tell you who's getting picked anyway.
It's the same
tip
thing.
All of it. They just, like, they're not saying, the pick is in, it's this. They go, Darius Acuff is going fifth overall.
Like, yeah.
We're not idiots, dude.
That's kind of high for Acuff.
Yeah, so. You think it is?
I don't think it'll go five.
I don't think it's high.
I think he's going to go six.
Who do you think's going five? What, Wagner? Wagler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like some team might be dumb and talk themselves into the scoring.
Oh. Yeah. I think he's kind of Stephon Marbury type. Really?
Yeah.
You think they'd pass on Boozer?
I think the Bulls are dumb. I don't really know anything about the new GM. But.
I say Boozer at four, which was kind of a rage bait, because a lot of people think he's going to go third.
I think he's going to go four.
I like Wilson.
Like I think Wilson's going to jump on that. I think it'll be between Boozer and Acuff.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I guess Wagler's in there, too. But
could the Bulls take Wagler? Local kid? Well, he's not really local.
No, he just went there.
Yeah, he's. I think he's from, like, Kansas.
Yeah.
Actually, I know he's from Kansas, because a lot of Jayhawks fans were mad that he got out of the state.
It's possible. But, wasn't he, like, a two-star recruit?
He wasn't highly recruited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Caleb Wilson's going to go in third overall.
That wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Anyways, SGA wins the MVP. He is one of only 16 players in the history of the NBA, Joe, that has won multiple MVP titles. Mm-hmm. SGA, two-time MVP, only 16 players have done this in history. And I don't think we've had these conversations yet. Brian's doubting me?
Well, I'm just looking at a page from StatMuse that has 9 listed without SGA.
I'm looking at a page from StatMuse that has 15 listed that doesn't have SGA.
Okay.
What does your thing say?
NBA players with multiple. I see what happened.
What happened, Brian?
I searched multiple MVPs, but I just blindly clicked on something and added on championships. So that's on me. That's on me.
He's got a big brain, but he's prone to mistake.
Come on, Brian.
I started doubting myself though. No, but so one of 16 players. to have ever done this. And I don't really think we've had these conversations yet quite with SGA, who's 27 years old. He's averaged 25 per game each or over his entire career. He's averaged 30 or more per game in each of the last four seasons. How high are we willing to go with SGA right now amongst all-time greats?
Like 20.
That's not bad for a 27-year-old.
And like, I really don't want to even put him up there, to be honest with you.
Two-time MVP, Joe.
I just don't like the way he plays basketball.
Oh, that's poor. That's poor. I don't like that at all. Right. Because he goes to the line?
Yeah.
How many times has he led the NBA in free throw attempts?
Probably none.
Never.
It doesn't
Never.
Mean, yeah, I just.
You know how many times he's had double-digit free throws per game in his
probably
career?
Never.
Once.
Okay.
He's had it one time, and that was like 4 years ago.
I know he's going to win back-to-back MVPs, but I see...
Back-to-back MVPs on a potentially championship back-to-back, and it's also going to be his fourth top five finish in a row. I think SGA is on a fast track. Not there yet. He's got to add up the volume. He's on a fast track to be one of the greatest scorers from the perimeter in NBA history. I really do.
It's so weird because I recognize what he's doing on the court. I just don't feel like when I watch him play, like I see like an all-time great.
Oh, you're a hater.
Like
you're a hater. He's incredibly
I'm not
efficient.
With Joe because of the style of play. That's not my justification. But you said there were 16 of these guys that have won multiple MVPs.
16.
I would put them like this. Sounds like a hate, but it's still ranking them top 15. I would put him at like 15th amongst those 16 players.
I think that's fair.
And then there's obviously
but
some players with single.
Time.
Yeah, and there's obviously some players with single MVPs like Kobe and Shaq and Akeem that I would put ahead of him
as
well.
He's incredibly efficient. Joe, he hasn't shot less than 50% from the field since 2022.
I know, but like.
He's incredibly efficient. He's over his career, Joe, he's a 51% shooter, 36 from three, 86 from the line. And he's a good passer, too. I think we lose sight of that. Would you consider him a point guard?
Yeah.
I think he's more combo than,
sure,
like, two
that's
point.
Fair.
Because, like, it's hard. Like, whatever. Over the last 3 years, he's averaged over 6 assists per game. He's averaging almost 5.5 assists per game his entire career. Like, if he keeps this pace, this is going to sound crazy. And he's not going to keep this pace for his entire career. But let's say he keeps this pace for, like, two or three additional years. And then let's say he has a slow... like decline, mm-hmm. kind of like Steph. I think Steph had a slow decline.
For sure.
Steph was still very good into his 30s. If he has that kind of decline in two or three more of these years, not even MVP, maybe top five MVP guys, I think the people are going to start making an argument that SGA is one of the greatest point guards that have ever played the game.
Yeah, I just
I really do. People are having that conversation right now with Steph Curry.
They are.
People say that Steph's the greatest point guard ever. If SGA has two or three more top five MVP finishes, then starts a Steph Curry-like decline, I think SGA is going to have a career that is very possibly better than Steph's.
No,
now, Steph had the dynasty and all that.
Yeah.
Who knows what the Thunder will have?
Yeah.
The Thunder could have the dynasty, too, though. SGA could be a five-time NBA
Curry
champion.
Curry Magic SGA? You might say that now.
I think it's a little bold on SGA now. Oscar Robertson for the old-timers.
Oscar.
People are going to be looking. I'm just telling you. We're 7 years, 8 years away.
No, I agree. It's just like
two or three more top five finishes, two or three more titles, is the Thunder team going away? Where we're looking at SGA as one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Yeah, I just, when I look at, it's like Kevin Durant doesn't have the MVP, the two-time MVP. But like that to me, like when I, like that's a top 15 player of all time. I just don't view SGA that way. I just don't.
Like, I feel like you're hating on SGA a bit.
Like he's not. Like he had more MVPs.
So why don't
like Kobe's in front of him?
See, I think it's more flash there. I think it's more flash.
Maybe it is, but like
Kobe was never as efficient a scorer as SGA. Did he have some huge seasons where he led the NBA in scoring? Yeah, he did that twice. SGA's leading the league this year, right?
No, Luka did.
Okay, so SGA has 1 year where he's led the NBA in scoring. Maybe he has one more, maybe he doesn't. But one more matches him with Kobe. Kobe was a 25-point-per-game guy. SGA's 25.3. And maybe SGA, like late in his career, is gonna dip below him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably never going to catch him in career points, volume points.
Sure.
But Kobe was 45% from the floor. SGA's over 50.
I know, but like I just
Kobe was a 33% three-point shooter. SGA's 36. And I'm not trying to say that SGA's better than Kobe. I'm just saying he's more efficient than Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe wasn't a point. Kobe won a point guard.
Yeah, in the point guard conversation, like there's going to be a really good argument for SGA in the top group.
I think you're onto something though about his playing style and why it will be hated amongst like fans. I think people will argue against SGA because of the playing style. I find it incredibly efficient.
It's very efficient. I just don't see like a top 20 all-time guy when I watch him play basketball. I know the MVPs are there, but
I don't think he's top 20 currently. He definitely could get there with his age.
I think that you're overrating flair and underrating efficiency.
Probably.
And I'm not speaking like specifically to you as I look directly into your eyes. But I'm talking to like this argument because I hear this argument from other people. Like other people, oh, he's a free throw merchant, or he's not like this uber athlete, or like he's not as good as Harden or Kobe or whatever. And I think people underrate efficiency and overrate like, oh wow, what a play type of kind of highlight culture-y, really.
It totally is. Like I have no dispute against that, but like. He just doesn't have the. Yeah, you're right. It's a flash thing. Like it's a. It just doesn't feel like a superstar when you watch him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit far.
I don't think it is. I think like, he's great.
I think he's a great player. I just don't feel like I'm watching all time great. And maybe it's because like when I think about superstar level players, it's like this is a guy I have to go watch before they retire. I don't feel that way. Like if I never see SGA play in person, I think I'll be okay.
So you're talking about more personal entertainment than resume.
Yeah,
definitely. But that's what a lot of people like when they do their top 10s and 15s of all times. Like it should be personal.
I think I'm rooting for SGA now. I think I'm rooting for the Thunder now.
But yeah, I don't know.
Junkie says flop, flopping flopper. Junkie says Matt Maloney is the best point guard. Joe, did you hate Harden when he was foul baiting the threes for us? He says the Chicago is showing, brother.
Yeah, he got suspended for it. For talking trash about James Harden.
What?
I got taken off the air for like 2 days because of what I said about James Harden.
For real?
Yes.
I never heard that.
Was that Tad?
No, that was a different instance.
Okay.
So you did hate on Harden.
Oh, you had to run in with Tad also?
Yeah, because I was dogging his stepson. I didn't know Jared Stinnett was married to his daughter, to be fair.
Okay.
What did you get suspended two days for?
Because they said I went too hard at James Harden for saying he's a foul, but like a foul.
That's all you said?
Yeah, but that's when Clan was getting suspended and all those things too.
For Dusty?
Yeah. I just took a vacation for 2 days.
That's weak.
Paid? Yeah. Was it paid?
No, I was a part-time employee.
Oh, man, that's weak.
I didn't realize. I remember that happened. I didn't think you got. I didn't know you got suspended. I thought you got reprimanded.
Yeah, I mean it's the same thing, basically.
Kinda. Yeah. I was reprimanded for Texans hate on the flagship.
I remember that. Yeah. You telling me that?
Yeah. I don't remember what you said.
I said there were the first time. I can't remember which one was first in the timeline. Actually, there was three, but the two that I'm willing to talk about. One was whenever they cut Texas guy Deontay Foreman. And I said he was the second best running back that they had. And, like, you're talking irresponsibly. And, like, Alfred Blue is their backup. and that's when he was, like, late or whatever. And then I think Foreman, like, even outplayed him that year on a different team.
Yeah,
and
he
then
went to Tennessee.
The other one was whenever I said that Jack Easterby was underqualified to be, like, given
shout
as much
out to
power.
The fish.
And this was before everybody hated Easterby. So, you know, me, just kind of ahead of my time, really. Junkie says, I 100% agree with Joe about SGA. Junkie, SGA is a superstar flopper. Ennis got fired for wearing an Oklahoma City shirt, right? He didn't get fired, did he? He kind of
I don't remember the timeline.
Maybe suspended.
That was before we were there. I was there.
Jordan, I believe Jordan averaged 8 free throws attempted. SGA averages 9, Joe.
I mean, a lot of guys around that number.
Joe is the real Huntington Bank bad boy.
That's not true.
Branham's the guy that has to go against the grain and forcefully have the unpopular opinion. I don't think it's unpopular.
No, I don't think it is. I think my side's going to be unpopular.
I don't know how I'm going against the grain. I think this is actually one where I'm with the grain.
Yeah, I think over time, and maybe my view will change. The dynasty will help because I think there's a good chance they're about to go on a run here for a couple years. But I think probably over time, you're going to end up being more correct on this.
Junkie, how many all-defensive teams has SGA earned? The greatest players or two-way players? Are they?
His defensive rating's pretty good, though.
He's never been on an all-defensive team.
No, he's never
team.
Been. Yeah, and he's not going to because Wimby's going to win all.
Also, are all the greatest players two-way players?
Nah, I mean, Kobe and Jordan competed, but yeah. I wouldn't call them
like,
great defensive
I'll give
players.
Abdul like a defensive player. Like he, I mean, obviously he was a rim protector, was one of the all-time great shot blockers. LeBron's a good defensive player.
Akeem was, obviously.
Was Magic a great defensive player?
No.
Was Larry Bird a great defensive player? Was Steve Nash a great defensive
Definitely
player?
Definitely not.
Is the Joker a great defensive player?
No.
Is Steph Curry a great
no.
defensive player?
No.
Did I say Steve Nash?
You yes. did.
Like,
like on this list, I definitely put him in front of Nash.
That's the thing about Kobe, too. Kobe only has one MVP. People don't realize that.
I think a lot of people look at Nash and they go, "That's one, at least one of those should not be his."
Fair. That's fair. That's
yeah, fair. The second one, I know. I can try to remember who was the other guy that was in the running for it that year, but people definitely did not think he deserved it.
I think it was
it.
Kobe.
Was it Kobe?
I think it was. Yeah, I think he. A lot of people think that he won Kobe's MVP.
And maybe both of them, honestly.
Yeah. Well... Kobe only finished second once, and the year he finished second was behind LeBron in 09.
Okay.
But maybe he finished third that year. I don't know. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Somebody says T-Mac. Kobe was 12-time all-defensive. Please stop. No one said that he was better than Kobe, though. Like, no one said that. We said that he's a more efficient scorer than Kobe. People hear what they want to hear. You got to start listening with other orifices of your body. No one said that SGA was better than Kobe. We said that I said that he's a more efficient scorer. Yeah, which tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, I brought up Kobe. I won't put him in front of him. But
no, I wouldn't put SGA in front of Kobe either. Kobe won 5 titles. You got to get closer to than one.
I think where SGA can get his biggest accolade is to be a top 2, top 3 greatest point guard of all time. I think that's his avenue to like accolade greatness.
Yeah, I think the path is easier there.
Already a multi-time MVP. Mm-hmm. Maybe more. Who knows? Maybe a dynasty. Who knows? Now, they have to win them, right? They can't just be this one-time NBA champion. Because if he's a 2-time MVP guy, 1-time NBA champion, I would have a tough time putting him that high.
Yeah, he's no different than like Jokic.
But I think he has the MVPs. But if the Thunder win 4 titles while he's there, we're going to be talking about him as one of the greatest point guards ever.
It's
top
totally,
2, top 3 point guards of all time.
Yeah,
that's not hyperbolic.
No, if he puts that resume together, it's going to be hard to dispute it. Because, I mean, who's in that category even now?
Like just Magic and Curry.
And LeBron?
Well, it's not a point guard.
Oh, yeah.
But
even overall, like it's like you add LeBron, you add Duncan. Well, how many
Duncan won 5 titles.
And he has 2 MVPs.
2 MVPs, yeah.
Like, but outside of that, like most of these guys who even are multiple-time MVP guys don't have 2 titles.
I mean, Kareem obviously does. Russell does.
Nash has none.
Yeah, Nash has none. Correct.
If you look at SGA's highlight reels, you'll see him flopping more times than you see him taking amazing shots. Why are amazing shots, like, why does that value into the all-time greats, though? That's where I have a hang-up. It's like, you need to see this unbelievable fadeaway jumper. That counts the same as him getting to the basket, getting fouled, and going to the line and make 2 free throws. Like, I value efficiency. And I think I'm in the minority when it comes to the efficiency, and probably in the minority when it comes to highlight reels. I don't put a whole lot of weight in that. 713-780-ESPN. SGA flops more than a fish out of water. I don't view that as great. 409 Josh, yet has never led the NBA in free throw attempts. Like, why do we keep saying that he flops more than a fish out of water whenever he's never led the NBA in free throw attempts?
I'm guessing
Luka flops more than him.
Yeah, I'm guessing Luka's led that category.
Key from L.A., Branham, don't ever try to compare SGA versus Kobe. Well, SGA's a more efficient scorer than Kobe. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not.
Where is Kobe more because he makes more difficult jumpers? I'll give you that. Kobe's a better bad shot maker than SGA. SGA's got him as a scorer everywhere else.
Right. I would take Kobe finishing at the rim over SGA.
Cool. You can have that one. I'll give you that. Kobe was a better finisher at the rim. Kobe's going to finish at the rim, get his 2 points. SGA's going to get fouled at the rim and get his 2 points from the line.
The big difference there is just the titles. Like, and that's just where like it's early in SGA's career. But if you're going to project it out, like it's hard not to think that they're not going to win at least 2 more titles.
I think he's on a track of being a top 2, top 3 point guard of all time.
Yeah, and they might not win 3
and
straight.
One of the more efficient scoring guards in NBA history.
Yeah.
That's my track for SGA.
And maybe part of what will end up being one of the worst trades of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
There's an argument. It's already probably in the top 5.
Yeah. And I don't think a whole lot of people really like paid it any mind at the time.
No, because
it was like pro LA. Like,
I don't think he was playing much for the Clippers.
No, he was off the bench, probably playing a few minutes a game, like 10 maybe. I don't think he was playing a lot.
This trade's it's unreal. It's Paul George.
Oh, he started 73 games. My bad. No, he was playing quite a bit. He was playing 26 and a half minutes a game.
for SGA, Danilo Gallinari, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 first round picks.
I mean, that's the trade that kickstarted their dynasty.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a dynasty yet. It's it what kickstarted a potential dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, this pick they have this year from the Clippers is the last piece.
Man, I'm gonna take Locke, watch this series. Also, Spurs hate. I don't want the Spurs to win.
No, I'd much rather the Thunder start a dynasty than the Spurs win.
Yeah. Michael Jordan started the flopping, Joe. Look it up. Look it up, Joe. Somebody says
no
16th
one
time.
Before that.
Eric
no
DeBeyer, SGA has got to be in the top three now. I mean, the way he stands still at the free throw line while the Zebras rub his shoulders and bring him coffee, unmatched. He gets a lot of hate. I didn't realize he got that. I knew he got hate. I didn't know he got that much hate.
He's unpopular. Like, I in terms of, like, superstar-level players, like, he is the least beloved, I think, of what we've run through in the NBA.
More not beloved, him or Harden?
I think it's Harden. I don't think SGA is that hated. Like, I don't
think
SGA is
like hated. I'm not even making a case for either side. Yeah. I'm just wondering aloud because it seems like the
Harden.
Feedback on SGA is pretty one-sided.
I think SGA is more of like, I think it's more of an annoyance than a hatred. Whereas
yeah,
Harden, I think, is more of a hatred.
I think it's Harden, and I think the frustration that people have with him watching SGA is spurned off of James Harden.
Probably.
It's one leads into the other.
How many 40-point games does SGA has? How many 50-point games does SGA have? How many point games does SGA have? How many point games does SGA have? Those sound like billable hours, man. It's like saying Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't deserve to be in the GOAT discussion because of his penalties and tap-in goals. Agreed. Also, a signature highlight helps with legacy points if you believe in that. I believe in championships. NBA should retroactively give David Robinson's MVP to Hakeem. That's a good call. You said he was a more efficient shooter than Kobe. That's the point I'm making. He is. He is a more efficient shooter than Kobe. Where am I wrong?
You're not.
Free throw. People can't comprehend that. People can't comprehend that SGA is more of an efficient scorer and more of an efficient shooter than Kobe. People don't like to hear it because they love Kobe, which yeah. I get. Everybody loves Kobe. But it doesn't make it wrong. Free throws are part of the game. I don't see the problem with free throws. Agreed. I think the text was saying y'all were saying SGA is better than Kobe. Y'all said MJ and Kobe was just okay at defense. No, we didn't. Didn't say that. 100% Harden, and I'm a lifelong Rocket fan. Yeah, Harden was very hated. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's tip a cap. Who are we tipping a cap over this sports weekend? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. This is Troy Millings from Earn Your Leisure. On Earn Your Leisure, we're all about smart money moves, and here's one most people skip. Car insurance renews on autopilot, the rates creep up, and nobody tells you. That's what Insurify fixes. In about 2 minutes, completely free, you can see rates from more than 120 top insurance companies. And if there's nothing better today, they keep watching and notify you when there's a better rate. So go to Insurify.com. That's Insurify.com. Insurify.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.